welcome to this episode of Nerds on the Rocks, whatever number it is. I don't count. That's Earl's job. And our first leader is not with us today. Therefore, it's my turn to host. And
he never remembers what number it is anyway.
I think it's 37. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
37?
Yeah.
In a row?
Yeah. Not bad, huh?
Blowjob jokes.
Oh, that'd be funny. So anyways, we have from Philadelphia, fine city of Philadelphia, right? We have Nicholas Reed.
What up, motherfuckers?
And from across the great big ocean-like pond, we've got Anthony.
Hello.
And my fellow Canadian brother, Dylan.
Hello.
Right on. So our topic for this event is going to be our favorite Batman stories. And surprise, surprise, I have some too. So who wants
Batman
to go first?
It surprised me when you said you wanted to do this, actually, right?
Well, you know what, man? I'm actually going through a bunch of them right now, and I'm like, I want to read these again. They're pretty
funny. I thought it was a trap, to be honest.
No. I was like, I'm going to argue with you guys. But
yeah, I expected to be like, welcome to the Batman show. Fuck you, it's not about Batman, it's about metal.
No, not quite.
And then I would be the only one who'd be prepared as well as you.
No, I have a box. I actually just organized my books a while ago, so I found everything. It was nice. So I guess I'll go first, and one of my very favorite stories is a Batman Judge Dredd crossover called Judgment on Gotham. It's written by Alan Grant and John Wagner, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, and the artist was Simon Bisley. So that was my main draw, and he draws a wicked ass Batman, and it's just a really good, fun, thrashy type of story.
Back when publishers used to do crossovers.
Yeah, this is from, what year is this from? 91.
Alright.
So it's not too old, but the art is beautiful, man. I'll give it that. They did a couple of them. I've got another one. It's not as good as this one. But yeah, check it out if you can. Next! Anybody? Who wants to go next?
It's your job to pick who's next.
You guys are waiting for some kind of a friggin' joker punchline or something.
You're the administrator. You have to administrate.
All right, Mike.
Earl usually does it, but he's getting drunk somewhere in the ditch, so he can't.
Last night.
He's in a ditch covered in petrol on fire.
All right,
was he drunk tweeting? Because I didn't see any of his tweets.
Oh, dude, it was like he was tweeting and it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, there was a couple.
Like, words were... There aren't actually English language words.
Yeah.
With punctuation in the wrong places and stuff.
It was great.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's trying to fit two bachelor parties into one weekend, so good luck, man. So, Anthony, give me one of your favorite Batman stories.
One of my favorite Batman stories, and it's probably a lot of people's favorites, is Batman Year One.
Yeah.
Yep. I really like the origin to him and how, rather than just be like on one page, his parents get shot and then on the next page, he's suddenly Batman. Like, it kind of was when Bob Kane did it. It actually takes time, you know, getting into the detail with like Bruce Wayne. And it's kind of like an origin for Commissioner Gordon as well, as much as it is for Bruce Wayne and Batman, which I really like to it. And the artwork's really good by David Mazzucchelli. I think it's pronounced
something like
that. Yeah, and it's just cool seeing, like, and it's got Harvey Dent in it as well before he's Two-Face, so it's cool seeing him before he becomes a villain, and it's well written, it's well drawn. Yeah, I was reading it again the other day and I enjoyed it. It's a good book.
I used to have that in a big leather bound with Return of the Dark Knight, Frank Miller's Year One. And I remember reading it. Also, the point that stood out the most to me was how he gets his ass kicked by a bunch of people on the street the first time he goes out.
Yeah.
So, yep. But he wasn't wearing a costume, so I guess it doesn't count as a Batman ass kicking. Good book.
It's good for new readers as well. Like, a good place to start if you're interested in reading Batman. Yeah. It's like its origin, and It's still in canon, isn't it? Like, is it still considered?
Well,
has it been?
And no.
Oh, okay.
There's some stuff that's been screwed with, like Catwoman being a prostitute and.
Yeah.
Chill not being mentioned and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but then if you follow Grant Morrison's stories, all Batman stories are in continuity.
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting. All right, well then, Dylan, I guess. You got the bigger box on the screen. That's how I'm picking this, whoever's box is bigger. So Dylan, hit us.
Well, I guess I'll start with another early Batman tale. Batman, The Man Who Laughs by Ed Brubaker and, I'll have to look at who the art is by in a minute here.
Doug Mankey. I'm not sure how you pronounce his surname.
Monk?
It's like, there's an A-H-N-K-E. I don't know how you pronounce
Monkey.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug Mankey.
Yeah.
I like that guy's art.
Yeah, it's good art. It's a retelling of Joker's first appearance. I'm a fan of Ed Brubaker's superhero, obviously. I mean, I haven't read a lot of his Cap stuff, but I've read a bunch of his issues of Batman, not that he's done a whole lot, and read some of his Daredevil stuff. And, I don't know, it's just an interesting first look at what he kind of has to do to fight the Joker, and
yeah,
it's also got a cool backup story with Alan Scott, the first Green Lantern, where they're going after I forget the thing of it. I just woke up, so pardon my stupidity here.
Brain fart.
Was he Green Lantern at that point, or was he one of his other things he's done? Like
no, he's Green Lantern.
Yeah, he's Green Lantern. It's called Made of Wood, and I think it's just about, like, the son of one of Alan Scott's old foes is, like, trying to kill him or something. And Jim Gordon gets wrapped up in it, and that's when Batman gives him the bat phone so that he can contact him instead of getting kidnapped all the time. So this was when he wasn't commissioner.
All right.
I think he's a captain or something. Oh, no, he retired in the store. Yeah.
Oh, so you guys, has everybody read this but me?
Yeah, I've read it. I'm actually holding it right now.
Ooh.
Nope.
I didn't see it.
I've heard of it.
Can't get up.
It sounds like Brubaker really suits that style. Like, I'm surprised he didn't go further in Batman.
Well, he did. What's his face?
Crime stuff, isn't
he? Did it with the Gotham Central, didn't he?
Yeah. He did that.
That's more like his jam.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, I guess that leaves you, Nick.
Yeah.
Kill us. Slay us with your favorite story.
So, this was actually the Batman story that immediately followed Hush in Batman.
Yes.
Broken City, it was called. Written by Brian Azzarello and drawn by Eduardo Risso.
Ooh.
The 100 that. Bullets team.
Yes.
It was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was unfairly maligned after the fact by people because it's not, it's very dark and very noir and very heavy, which especially if you read 100 Bullets, you can see like it's in that style entirely.
Cool.
So following up Hush with that kind of, people are like, oh, this isn't, oh, it's not Jim Lee and Jeff Lee. But it's fucking great. Fuck those people. The covers are all really, really interesting and very evocative. Like most of them have it's a silhouette in white on the front with like an image in the background. It's about a murder investigation. Killer Croc is involved, and the Joker is involved, and it's just a really, really interesting, kind of more dark version of a Batman story, and especially following up on Hush, which was everybody's like, here's why Batman's awesome again, story. It kind of threw people off a little bit, but look it up, very good. Broken City, good shit.
Yeah, I would check that out just for the art alone.
Batman 620 to 625.
Cool, prepared. All right. I guess it's my turn again. Which one of these books does he get his ass kicked in?
Batman actually, no. Beat up and everything, but then he always wins.
I was looking through these, and I might as well be the one who fucking brings this up. But the Tower of Babel from
JLA one?
3 to 46, yeah. It's good. I mean, everybody, well, obviously we know what it's all about. Batman has contingency plans for everybody, and it's Ra's who gets them, right? And unleashes them on everybody. And then nobody trusts Batman ever again. I don't know. I thought it was good. It was written by Mark Waid. Howard Porter is a good artist. I'm surprised he... Well, he didn't draw that straight through the series, did he? No, he didn't do the conclusion, so... yeah, what else can I say? Batman really wanted to. I guess he could kick the shit out of everybody in the Justice League. I'll give him that. Anybody?
Well, yeah.
Agree? No? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he
Yeah,
did.
Probably.
Because he kind of did. Well, not really, but...
Well, this, I think this that was... Work.
The Batman that was set up in JLA, like, before Grant Morrison worked on Justice League, I don't think he could have done that story.
Yeah.
Because... True. He set up the whole idea of Batman being hyper-competent and being prepared for everything, which ultimately led to the whole Tower of Babel thing.
Well, that's why people latched on to that, too, in fandom really savagely, too. Like, I remember when they, around that time, they did that Royal Rumble in Wizard Magazine, and the winner was Batman because he waited everybody out till the end.
That's what he would do.
And I'm like, that is so... probably what would happen, fuck. Like, I don't agree with that. I think Wonder Woman would, because she's been shown to be capable of killing and blah, blah, blah. That's my opinion. No, it's not what we're talking about. So, I guess that was my pick, and whose turn is it? Anthony, you're up again, buddy. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me, yeah?
Yeah, no? Can I hear you now? Yeah, it's your turn, stud.
All right, another one of my favorite Batman books is one of the original graphic novels, I think, by DC Comics, and it is Arkham Asylum. And it's really, like, fantastic with the art and the writing by Grant Morrison. It's like an original graphic novel. It's just brilliant because it's really creative and different and...
I like it because Batman really loses his shit in that book, man.
It was
good. It's really good.
I don't know if it still is. I know for a while it was the best-selling graphic novel of all time.
I remember when it came out, man. I wasn't 18
yet. It's like original graphic novel of all time.
Yeah, I had to get my parents to buy it for me. I was like, this is bullshit.
I only read it for the first time. I think it was last year or maybe the year before. So it wasn't that long ago that I'd read it. Mainly just because... I didn't really got round to it for one reason or another, but I read it and it blew my mind. So
my copy, I opened it up and all the pages fell out, man.
Jeez.
In one big chunk. I was like, fuck, I'm going to read it anyways. I had to get a dictionary to read that book, man, for a couple of spots. I was like, what the fuck?
There's a couple of panels in mine where I can barely see the words, but I've managed to read it like 18 times.
That's more, that's because of the font and color they used for the Joker.
The Joker's red font, I remember.
Not just mine then.
No, that's part of the thing. Yeah. I love it. It's so dense. There's like so much going on in that story that like you kind of need the version that has the script and the annotations so you can see like what Grant Morrison was like. Oh, this is totally what I was doing here. But, the art really helps out with like just the weirdness of it.
Yeah. I thought. I really thought they cribbed some stuff for the video game from that, especially the stuff with Amadeus himself. I was like, that every time that would come up, you would find one of those things in the game, and he'd start talking or whatever. He'd be talking about Mad Dog or something. It just reminded me of that book every time. I was like, that's creepy. I like it.
Yep.
Very good book. Intense. I remember it being very intense. Well, I mean, I don't know. Some of it kind of freaked me out, like when he found his wife and his daughter's head was stuffed in the doll's house cut off or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes back and fries the crap out of Mad Dog. I was like, fucking A. That's awesome. So, yeah, there I am. Great book. I guess we're back to you, Dylan.
I will go with, I guess, the series that finally made, or kind of finally did Hot. Ash's character idea, Justice, after Loeb started not doing a whole lot with it, and then kind of other writers picking it up. But Detective Comics, around the time of RIP happening, Paul Dini, and I always butcher the name, but Dustin Nguyen, or however you say it, just wrote a kind of follow-up to all the previous Hush stories where Hush came back and basically took Catwoman's heart, and Bruce had to get it back before she died.
Her heart?
Yeah, he
like her love or her heart, her actual
literal heart.
Yes, he cut it out and
up, man.
Yep.
All right.
I don't know, just follow me, you know, obviously he knows how to write a Batman story by now, he's been doing it for 20 years, basically, and the artwork, if you've heard me talk about the, like, the duo of those two before, you know how I love their work, and this is, even though it's their first stuff, it's probably their best to date still, their Streets of Gotham stuff was pretty good, but, like, this is just, like, amazing, I recommend checking it out. You might still be able to find the issues. I think it was Detective Comics. I don't. Maybe 850-ish or so around there. So it's only a couple of years ago, so you can probably still find them. Or just get the trade for $15, which either way, just read it. It's pretty good.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
Very. I honestly, around that time of Jim Lee and Jeff Loeb on there, on the Batman, I was running away kicking and screaming. I was like, no, I don't, they did this with X-Men, I remember. And I don't know. Just me. All right, Nick, slay us with another great story.
Oh, God. I have like four Wikipedia windows open right now with like various stories. And I don't want to do the obvious ones.
I have comic books everywhere.
I'm going to go with the really, really not obvious one that you're all probably never read or think is really dumb. It was Spawn Batman.
Oh, Frank Miller's and...
Miller and Todd McFarlane one.
Yeah,
it was the one that Image put out. That one was so fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's in a book box here somewhere.
Yeah, I think I might still have it. I don't know.
It's a version of Batman, right? Like, it's not the incontinent.
I'm pretty sure it's Batman. Isn't it in Frank Miller's continuity?
It's the God.
Yeah, so it's in continuity with Year One and Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was closer to the Dark Knight Returns age myself.
Well, no, he's still a young Batman at this point, but he's not.
I don't know, just because he's constantly calling Spawn a punk.
Oh yeah, well that's what Batman does.
I have that book. It's not.
But yeah, it's such a weird, weird story though. They like. Cut off. It's about like cutting off homeless people's heads and putting them into robots, and it was just such a weird fucking story. But it's Frank Miller and it's Todd McFarlane when he wasn't shit.
Yeah.
So it was like Frank Miller when he was going crazy.
I remember when that was.
Before he went all the way crazy.
It was a big deal, that book. Everybody was.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a real big deal, but it was good. It was interesting. I don't know. I can't say it's good. Let me rephrase that. I can't say it's good.
I flipped through it the other day, man. It still looks good. The art holds up, and I don't find a lot of T-Max stuff does anymore, but that's my opinion, I guess. All right.
He does a really good Batman. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? I don't know what that is all about. All right. Let's see. I guess I get... A couple of my favorite Batman stories aren't even from Batman books, or from the Justice League. We'll go back backwards here to Morrison's run, issue 16 and 17, where Prometheus kicks the living crap out of everybody. And hey. I was just flipping through this, and it's a bit of a letdown, actually. All they show is Prometheus tells Batman, he's like, I've got the mental recordings of the best fighters in the world, and one of them is you! And then he jumps at him, and you don't even get to see the fight. You just see him on the last page. He drops Batman. He's like, five down. Who wants to be six? I'm like, come on, man.
That's badass, though.
Yeah. I wanted to.
Because it's in your imagination how much he actually kicks Batman's ass.
Well, yeah. If you got Batman knocked the fuck out, he beat him up pretty good, I'd say. But the best part of the whole thing is how Batman comes back.
Oh, and, yeah, like in the later storyline?
Yeah, and he gives him the Richard Hawking's.
The Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, that's it. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, well, it's great because you realize that Prometheus is essentially...
Well, to kick his ass.
Yeah, he makes... Well, Prometheus is, like, the reverse Batman.
Yeah.
But they tried to set him up as that, as, like, you know, he was raised by his family with criminals that were gunned down, blah, 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 stuff, man. But he's also a cheater.
So
he doesn't train, he didn't do any of that shit, he just makes technology to give him the stuff.
Iron Man, that fucker.
Yeah. So Batman kicks the shit out of him eventually.
Eventually, yes. But in round one, he went down, and I like it. Anyways. Yeah. If you guys have never read that stuff, the Justice League stuff, man, you guys should really check it out. I think.
Like the entire early JLA run from Morrison's.
Pretty much
from the beginning through, like, the end of it, yeah.
It's good.
I have the first deluxe edition volume, and I really enjoyed that when I read it. And I've read his 1 million as well. DC 1 million.
I like.
Yeah, that kind of came like midway. Was that like midway through or towards the end? I forget.
I think it was near the end, actually.
Before World War III.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely before like the very last storyline. Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. I guess moving on, that makes it your turn there, Anthony.
Another one of my favorites, which I only read around last year, I think it was. I read it after I watched the Under the Red Hood movie, and it's Batman, A Death in the Family.
Oh, yeah, I read that too.
Who's the writer there?
Yeah, what's a year ago. It's got a few writers on it, actually. Hang on. It's written by Jim Starlin, and it's
really,
yeah, it's the death of Jason Todd, basically.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
When the Joker kills Robin, and Batman's sad because one of his sidekicks is dead, and he's failed his sidekick, and yeah.
Ooh, fuck that dude.
You can blame the fans for that one.
Yeah, that's true. But I found it a pretty decent Joker story as well, actually.
Yeah.
The Joker's quite badass in it, and just, you know, doing what Joker does best.
I think Starlin had a pretty good handle on Batman during his time.
Yeah. Did you get the version that had A Lonely Place of Dying in it, the DC Comics Classics Library version?
No, I think I've got the old version, because it's on like pretty old printed paper. So yeah,
I got a huge hardcover version that has the introduction of Tim Drake included, plus the death of Jason Todd.
All right. Oh, cool.
Sounds like a nice book.
He
deserved
to die.
Nice.
Fuck Jason Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why people didn't like him.
He was a dick.
I didn't give a shit either way. Okay.
Well, I wasn't reading at the time, so I can't really comment. So.
He's a piece of shit.
Read that.
You probably couldn't even read at the time if you were even alive.
Actually,
when that book came out.
Yeah, it was December 1988, so I would have been about 5 months old. So.
Atta boy.
Nice.
Start him young. All right, so nobody likes Jason Todd. I guess that makes it... Whose fucking turn is it? I've gotten confused. Dylan?
It's me.
Okay. Yep. I feel like I'm skipping Nick, but...
No, you're saving the best for last.
That's right, brother.
I'm going to go with a story that only lasted 3 issues and wrapped up like this year, actually. It was the previous storyline in Detective Comics, Black Mirror, and written by Scott Snyder and Jock. It did the art, and well, if you didn't hear me say the other day, Scott Snyder's probably one of my favorite writers at DC at the time, or right now, so this is pretty much the reason why. It's basically trying to like look at Gotham, how Gotham changes since Dick is Batman now, like how the enemies will be different, and like how his approach to being Batman will affect the world around him, basically. Then it also started this great backup, also written by Scott Snyder with art by Francesco Francavilla or something.
Francavilla.
Yeah. That was just basically bringing back Jim Gordon's son, James Jr., who really hasn't been seen in
years. What? Jim's got a son? What the
I was just wondering that.
Yeah.
I know he was in the Dark Knight.
I didn't know that, man.
He's in year one, and then you don't see him again, basically, until this year, when the story happened.
Let's just bring back this kid.
Basically, it's just like saying that he was like a murderer and like left Gotham, but now he's back, so Jim's kind of freaked out that he's back. Barbara, but I don't know. It's got a really creepy, not really gothic, but just more, a lot darker than I guess most of the stuff that's going on right now. It's just really good story with, if you like Dick behind the cowl, or really just Batman in general, and aren't opposed to Grayson being Batman, then definitely check this out. I don't know if it's going to be collected as a trade soon, but it's issues...
It probably will be next year.
Yeah, it's 871 to 873. Plus the next issue is the wrap-up of the backup, and then his run continues from there. So if you want to just keep checking it out monthly, I guess it'd be good, because I'm sure his next story will be as good.
That's the newer stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sounds interesting. I won't touch it with a 10-foot pole myself, but...
Oh, do you not like Dick as Batman?
No, I do, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, why won't you touch it with a 10-foot
pole? I'm trying to contain myself here. I guess, Nick, it's your turn, man.
I'm going to go the obvious route. Say The Dark Knight Returns.
Nice work.
Which is Frank Miller. Oh, shit, I almost dropped my orange juice. Frank Miller, 4-issue series. You could probably just find it collected now everywhere for 8 million different versions. Originally put in 1986. Alongside with Watchmen, it's pretty much blamed for the darkening of comics, which I disagree with, but that's a whole argument I don't want to get into. It's basically Batman as an old man who has retired, gone away out of the public eye, and being drawn back into the superheroing life, where he just beats the shit out of people and is generally cantankerous.
Yeah, he's a lot more brutal. I think that's
that's
the start of the goddamn Batman.
Yep.
You know, I enjoyed the piss out of that story too. It's fun.
And its sequel, I would highly not recommend.
I've
not read
that
yet. I mean,
let me rephrase that. You should read it. Just be prepared for it to be insane and not that great. Because The Dark Knight Strikes Again is fucking crazy.
It is. It's off the wall.
Like, it's like, and not in like a, oh my god, this is awesome, Grant Morrison crazy. Like in a, oh my god, Frank Miller is a strange, twisted, despicable old man.
Fuck that. Crazy plastic man. That's all I gotta say. Woo! Rock on. Loved it. Everybody's read that story here, right?
Yes.
No.
You haven't read the Dark Knight Returns?
What?
Oh, no. Dark Knight Returns, yeah. I thought you were talking about Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yeah, yeah. No. No, you're not. Okay.
Yeah.
You can live
so
life
good
without reading that.
Like, if,
I bought it.
That was all the work Frank Miller had ever done. He would still be legendary.
Word up. Well.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I'm running out of stories here. I was going to pick the goddamn Batman, but it's not really. How about we go with this one here? Back in around 96, there was a run of Batman. Just the straight Batman title, by Monch and Jones, Kelly Jones, and they did a series good run of comic books, man. And I was like, these are good, you know, because they're all kept in the same line. Some of them might have been two or three parters, but for the most part, they were really trying to bring back that one storyline, one book type thing. Because this is the late '90s, right? Everything had kind of exploded, and you couldn't seem to
Heroes Reborn.
Well, everywhere, man. Even, like, every Batman comic was, you know, like, part fucking 32 of 56. Because it ran across all five or six titles, right? Like, some of these stories included The Demon and Etrigan. That was probably my favorite. Lots of rhyming. Lots of one-offs with the Penguin and shit like that. Two-Face, Deadman, Ragman.
I think they've started reprinting them, actually. Like, DC Comics specials or whatever.
That was the first time in my life I was continuously picking up Batman at the corner store of all places, you know, 7-Eleven, shit like
nice.
That. I guess you guys have never seen one of those before.
Well,
Nick,
no,
Nick would remember.
What,
a
7-Eleven?
No, comics at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah. I used to have to buy them at, like, a grocery store.
Drug stores and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one grocery store in town where I live that carries comic books, but they're all Simpsons and Archies.
Yeah.
So that tells you. Well, you can't keep up with the superhero stuff. It's too hard to jump into.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right. Moving along. I'm doing pretty good here. Probably one more pick each, eh, boys, or what?
Yeah, why not?
Sure, I guess.
All right, Anthony.
Two more, maybe.
Fire it up, Anthony.
Oh, okay. One of my picks is now is from the 90s series, The Legends of the Dark Knight, and it's a three-issue story written by James Robinson and illustrated by Tim Sale, and it's called Blades. And what I like about it is it's got this villain in it called, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right, but called the Cavalier or something. He's like a swashbuckling villain, and I just thought it was a pretty fun story, Batman being pitted up against someone like that, and he's kind of like a Robin Hood type character, and he begins his own war on crime, and then Batman's got to like stop him from crossing the line and shit like that. And it was a good story. But I read it in, I bought the Tim Sale Tales of the Batman book a few years ago, and that was probably my favorite story in the book.
Interesting. So,
yeah, it's a free issue story, and it's quite good.
There's a lot of good stories from that series, man.
Yeah, yep. I want to read Gothic and Prey as well, actually.
You need to
read Venom.
Yeah, okay, man, you take it. I was going to say it. Dylan.
No, I'm not going to put that as my thing. You can.
Why not, man? Well, Venom I thought was cool because I guess I'm picking again. That's what's happening right now. Venom was one of my favorites because in the very first issue, he can't save a little girl and she dies. Batman fail. Oh. Batman fail.
That's horrible.
So then he meets somebody who hooks him up with some little pills. Next thing you know, we've got junkie steroid Batman.
Yeah.
And it was, I loved it, man. That was good. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty good.
How long does he stay in the cave before, you know, he's, by the end of it, he's all.
Month.
Like a month. It takes him a month to dry out. That's crazy. That's a pretty big defeat, man. And
the only thing I was confused by, it's supposed to be in continuity with year one, but like, he's basically out of commission properly for like 3 months, so I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's pretty much the beginning of the derivative of Venom and Bane, right? Because Bane's in that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
It does prove that the only one who can truly defeat Batman is himself.
There you go. Kicked his own ass this time. Big time.
Yep.
That's not
I'll imagine a star with a rainbow flying over your head says, the more you know.
Yeah. Why? We seem to drop that in every episode. That's what this thing's going to be starting to be called. The more you know. Okay, so we're all confused again. Whose turn is it? Dylan?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to go with this story that opened up the Shadows of the Bat series from 1992. Batman the Last Arkham, which is written by Alan Grant with art by... Oh, crap. Norm Befugel, or Breyfugel, however you say that.
Norm Breyfugel.
Breyfugel. And basically, Jeremiah Arkham inherits his uncle's asylum, decides to tear it down and rebuild it. Meanwhile, like, Zaz has just been introduced and he's like incarcerated there, but he's still committing murders, and so Batman incarcerates himself there to figure out if Arkham is in on it or how Zaz is able to escape. Only 4 issues, but I found them at my comic shop a couple of years back and read them. Well, actually, I'm missing number 2, but I have 1, 3, and 4, and it's really good. And I don't know, this trade seems to be sold out all the time, but if you can find it, it's one of the better Batman stories I've read from the early 90s.
Hmm. Remember that series. They kind of did some Elseworlds stuff once in a while in that series too, right? Or maybe that was an annual I'm thinking of or something.
Well, some of the stuff isn't canon, I think. So, yeah.
And I think those make the best Batman stories, really. Right?
Yeah, in some cases. No?
All Batman stories are the best.
Sure. Except for the ones that he's not in. Those are even better.
Well, then they're not Batman stories, are they?
That's right. They're Wolverine, usually. All right,
that
Nick,
doesn't make any
up.
Sense. You broken logic.
That's right. That's how we roll here. At 10 o'clock in the morning with a beer hangover.
Dude, it's like 12:54.
I got...
It's 5 in the afternoon.
11,
what are you guys on about?
10 to 11.
And honestly, I didn't get home from work till 1:30 in the morning, so y'all can just go fuck yourself.
What? I was up till 2 drinking beers, so come on.
Well, that's a lot different, isn't it?
A little bit. I feel sick, but I'll be okay.
I was up for like 24 hours straight yesterday, so...
Why would you do that, man? You're so young.
Because he can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 18 or something, I don't know.
You're what? You're on what? HB.
It was like 18.
He was on 18.
Oh, sorry.
He was on A-team. Yes, it's a new drug. 18.
That's what I was checking out there. I thought you were...
It makes you not want to go on planes.
We get crazy kids and your crazy pills. All right, Nick, give us another one of your favorite stories.
This is kind of cheating because it is like super huge, but I want the entirety of Grant Morrison's Batman run is basically one giant ass story.
Well, I'll throw these comics to the side then. We're done with those. Yeah. Nick just picked them.
From the beginning, from the beginning of Grant Morrison's run, the three ghosts of Batman and Son, excuse me. Yep. Batman and Son through now with Batman Incorporated is essentially one long story, which includes Final Crisis and Return of Bruce Wayne and Batman RIP and all that stuff. And it is amazing. What's that? Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that's, I kind of jumped on the wagon there. The first, it started off really good. I enjoyed that series with Mr. Pig. I don't know how to say it.
Yes.
I enjoy him. He never seemed to... Well, yeah, he did come back near the end of his series, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's writing the series now?
Paul Cornell.
And then it is going on to Jed Winnick with next
season.
With The Return of the Red Hood, which I liked better than Grant Morrison's second story, but, I mean, Jed Winnick can go die as far as I'm concerned.
I've only read a couple of good stories by that guy. He's not the... He's got fans.
I read... Oh, God, what was it? I read Long Shadows or something, which had art by Mark Bagley, which was weird. And that was friggin' terrible. It was completely out of character, too, with everything Grant Morrison and Tony Daniel had just done. Stupid.
Well.
But yes, Grant Morrison's entire Batman run. Which you can conceivably include his
Justice League.
Justice League.
Yeah, you might as well start there.
What about his Gothic? Is that included as well?
That's actually a standalone piece. I do have that though. That's a decent story too. But that's kind of like that was like that was not part of this whole thing. But yeah, Grant Morrison, awesome.
Yeah, you can't argue with that logic. Grant Morrison is awesome. I'll give him that. I was just... one of my first graphic novels I bought was Batman the Cult. It's written by Starlin, and it's drawn by Bernie Wrightson, who I knew from Heavy Metal magazine, comics, movies, stuff like that. So it was an instant sell. I was like, this should be good. It was pretty dense. This is back in the days when they put words in comics, lots of them. And it's pretty much... Batman getting his ass kicked all the way through it, man. He even talks about it in the intro here. What does he say again? Something about a man. The whole point of the story was to bring Batman to his knees, and he pretty much does through the whole thing. Starts off, you're not too sure what's going on here. It seems like Bruce is dreaming and stuff, and it turns out he's being brainwashed with torture, lack of food, lack of water, bunch of other stuff, and they do this to him for days. And at one point, he starts dreaming again, and he's got a machine gun, and he shoots the Joker. But when he wakes up, he's just gunned down another guy, because him and these other bums are now a little army for the man called the Deacon, who is the guy who's pretty much broken Batman. And it's just, I don't know. As I'm flipping through it, I'm like, epic bat fails every other issue. It's just wow. I mean, in the end, he does fail. Hello? Is that your dog?
Yeah. Didn't
it get reprinted last year or something?
I'm not sure. Probably. I'm not sure.
I think it had a 15th anniversary or something. Oh,
God, it's hurting. It's pretty good. I don't know. They fall back to guns. It's Robin. It's Jason Todd who's helping him in the book. So this is before... I'm not even sure if this isn't part of the... Because this was a mini-series, right? I'm not even sure if it's proper canon or not. But at the end, again, he can kill the Deacon, but he doesn't. And instead of just... You know, they do a nice page of Batman kicking the shit out of him. And then the bum army comes in and tears the Deacon apart. And Batman and Robin just like, leave him. We can't stop him. Just fuck it. And that's how it ends. I'm like, ooh, Batman, you're not a nice guy.
This reminds me, I want to single out, I forgot to mention the two best things about the Grant Morrison Batman run.
What's that?
A, that the entire thing, Batman RIP is predicated on the fact that Batman creates a backup personality in case his gets taken out.
Yep.
Really? And that personality, that's what the Batman of Zur-En-Arr, That's his backup personality, that in case Bruce Wayne ever gets taken out, he's just a more focused, badass version of Batman.
That is just... only last days.
Yeah. Like, he's not... It's not designed to be, like, permanently like that, but that's just in order to keep himself alive.
I'm gonna have to read that again.
And then, the best thing ever is Batman claws out of his own grave while coming down off heroin.
That a boy.
And then kicks the shit out of a bunch of people because he's the motherfucking Batman.
I like the thing how Joker knows that he's Bruce Wayne, but he doesn't really do shit about it the entire run. He's just kind of like, I know, I don't care.
Yeah, because that doesn't matter to him. That's not the fun.
I've never heard this. This is crazy. Really? The Joker knows who Batman is?
Well, he kind of would have to.
Except his mask in front of him.
Batman's if you read Batman R.I.P., you would have to know.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Spider-Man crawled out of his grave first. It worked better for me. I don't know.
I read that recently, actually. That was damn good.
What's that? The Grim Hunt?
Yeah, Craven's Last Hunt.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty good. Okay, so, Anthony, you got another one there, big guy?
I used to really like it, but I've been reading it again this week, and I tweeted about it the other day. It's Batman: The Long Halloween, and I'm rereading it again, and I don't know, it just isn't, I still like the art in it, but it just isn't, it's not as good as I remember it being. I don't know why.
That's Loeb in sales.
Loeb.
It's where I read it, like, probably,
was it
getting close to 10 years ago or something?
No, was it one of the first books you read?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So that's why. Wow. The more your Batman you read, the crappier it gets.
Yeah.
That's true. But
I still like the artwork in it. I don't know. It's just...
I think I said this in another episode. It's a good introduction to Batman, but
that's
really all it is.
Well, I bought it up on when we did that episode about our favorite books, and I said it was one of my favorite books then. But I've read more Batman since then, like, for a start, Grant Morrison's Batman, and just, you know, there's really no comparison. I'm running out of stories, so I'm just bringing up The Long Halloween. It's all right, but I don't know.
Dylan? Never heard that story.
There's two I'm thinking of. They kind of deal with the same subject matter, just in different ways. Whatever, I'll just combine them. It was Batman, like Batman 690 to 698 or something. Or 692 to 698, which was Life After Death, which was basically about the new Black Mask, even though the other one had died recently. And then another story called Batman Arkham Reborn, which was in Detective Comics around the same time. And basically, Life After Death deals with the new Black Mask, how he's kind of reigning terror over Gotham. And then by the end, you figure out who it is, which, spoilers, I'm just going to say it, because otherwise I can't really talk about it. It's Jeremiah Arkham. And then it kind of ends there, and Arkham Reborn... it's like he's building from Asylum, which is mentioned in the other story, after the cowl where it's destroyed, and then it kind of just gets into psychosis a bit more, and like how he kind of snapped and came crazy and started being the Black Mask, and how he is like these secreting for all these other inmates. Turns out he's been hallucinating them the whole time, and like that's kind of just goes into him going crazy and losing his mind, basically. It was pretty good stuff. The story in Batman was written by Tony Daniel, with art by him. And then the Arkham Reborn was written by David Hein, with art by... Let me look here.
David Hein? What do I know that name?
Oh, yes. Jeremy Hahn did the art on Arkham Reborn. So, good stuff. They're both in trade, so he's just collecting them if you can.
There's definitely no lack of talent when it comes to Batman books. Like, I'm always surprised at who's writing them, or the artists and writers who do pursue. It's kind of neat.
Well, you need the top talent on him, really, because he's one of the biggest characters in comics. So he deserves
it's a franchise. It's a huge franchise.
He just deserves all the talent he gets. So.
Right.
And shit, the actual Batman title itself is used as a sales signpost. Like, that's when they figure out, like, sales of things. Batman is, like, considered the average seller. Like, if it's above Batman, it's considered amazing. If it's below, it's considered not as good in terms of sales.
Hmm. Which, ironically, at the moment, well, not at the moment, as David Hein was doing a two-issue art, but when Tony Daniel was doing it art and writing-wise, like, after 703 or whenever when it took over, and a bit before, it was all the other Batman books were considerably better than, in my opinion, what with Batwoman going on and then Batman and Robin still going around and that kind of thing. It was like the worst Batman.
So you're saying Tony Daniels' Batman was the weakest?
I'm saying Tony Daniels' a piece of shit.
I remember when that guy said that, and I'm like, X-Force, man, this guy looks like Capullo who went and drew Spawn, and hey, look at you, you're drawing Spawn now, you fucking clown.
Well, and there's something, his R.I.P. and Black Love I really like, but back with, like, with 692 or so, and he did the covers beforehand, something too different about it that's, like, different in a bad way. I don't know.
His art what it is, extremely over the years. I don't know if it was in the beginning he was aping people, or and now he's using his own style, or if he's trying to ape somebody else. I don't know. I'm not a real big fan of his art.
Neither am I.
And I don't see too many. There's not that many artists that can write, and I don't put my stuff in any of them.
The only one I think of, like, Tony Daniels not doing a whole good job with writing and.
Well, like
starting.
Finch. Finch, I hear he's
fucking
pooped.
Yeah, I really like his story, actually. I don't know why everyone else hates it so much, but I think he's doing a competent job at the time.
I think that would be better, though, if there was actually a writer on it, and then David Finch could focus purely just doing the art and, you know, not worry about the plot so much and not about the dialogue if he was just doing the art. I think it might be better. But I've read those two issues, and I don't mind them, but I've got less Batman stories to compare it to than the average Bat fan, so...
I think if you're going to do something like that, like let a top-tier artist write his own project, don't do it in the main title.
Yeah.
Because there's no way. Yeah. I mean, unless he's... I don't know. Who's so stupid fast that they could do both all the time?
Mark Bagley.
Yeah, that's about it. Well, it's the only guy I could think of. Like...
Well, it's been... I read some, like, Celestials or whatever for 709 or... 708, whatever the last one was. It was supposed to be written by Daniel with art by Andy Clark. So I go into the comic shop, written by David Hein with art by the guy's doing Azrael, Gillian Mark. So I'm like, well, this is a surprise. Good surprise, I guess, because I like both of them. But
wait, Azrael?
He couldn't keep up.
They still make that book?
Yeah, it's with
really?
New Azrael. I haven't.
Oh, there's a what? Oh my god.
Someone was complaining about it the other day on Twitter, and it was quite funny.
Fuck.
The only thing I don't get is the guy who's Azrael right now was a villain in Grant Morrison's work, and then was like also a villain in the future of Grant Morrison's work, but now he's Azrael, so... I mean, he's not really a hero, per se, but like he's not as evil as he was in those books, so it's kind of...
So it's not Jean-Paul Vallier. What happened to that guy? He got killed?
Oh, he's dead. He's a doornail.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that when they? Is that from when he took over being Batman, and then no, because he came to Azrael after that, right?
Yeah, I think he got killed in No Man's Land or the fallout of that. Somewhere.
Really?
I remember him being in that, and then after that, I don't know what happened to him.
Crazy talk. All right, well, you got any more there, Nick, or you're happy with Grant Morrison's entire body of work?
Well, what's funny is I was thinking, oh, what else could I talk about? And then I thought of another Grant Morrison thing, but the first three issues of JLA Classified, but regardless, that was, look that up, that's good stuff.
Classified?
But,
never read.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
It was the first three issues of JLA Classified were a basically almost a Batman solo story.
Huh.
And, it kind of leads into not only a lot of his Batman run stuff, but into the Seven Soldiers series as well.
Interesting.
But what I wanted to talk about was Arkham Asylum. What was it? Living Hell, I believe it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Which is technically Batman's not in it.
Is that the Dan Slott one?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, introduced the Great White Shark.
What's the Great White Shark?
He's a, he was a Wall Street type dude who, was, in court for bilking people out of money, like you do when you're a Wall Street dude. Kind of a dick, kind of an asshole, probably the worst person in the world.
That's his super villain name? The Great White Whale?
Great White Shark.
Oh, fuck me.
But that was his nickname as like a Wall Street investor type guy who like bilked a lot of people out of money. And in court pleaded insanity in order to get out of it, but the judge was like, well, you pleaded insanity in the wrong place, buddy, and sent him to Arkham. And it's all about what happens when this normal dude goes into Arkham and what happens to him there.
Oh, so it's... Oh, okay. And,
it's a really good story.
Kind of. Didn't like it also
Batman
introduce,
generates his own crazies.
Didn't it also introduce the Aaron Cash or whatever the security guard's name is?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who's in Arkham.
He's in the game.
Yeah, the guy in the game. But Killer Croc bit his hand off. That's his first appearance, I think. I think was Humpty Dumpty? No, not Humpty Dumpty. Whatever that... I don't know. That big dude who, like, puts shit back together.
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty.
That was his first appearance. There's, like, a lot of, like, new crazy people in it. Plus, there's, like, a lot of done with some of the older Batman villains. But it's mostly about just this one dude and his experience in Arkham. And how it literally, essentially turns him into a Gotham villain.
Okay.
But it's really good. It's really well done. It's kind of like the first thing I ever read of Dan Slott's. And I was like, yeah, I gotta keep an eye on it.
I'm quite curious to read it, actually, after getting into his Spider-Man recently, to see how well he does a Batman story. I think I'm gonna have to read it sometime. See how he handles Batman.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Because it's Dan Slott.
Yeah.
It sounds a little ridiculous with the Great White Shark, but it kind of sounds cool at the same time. So how old is that? That's not that old, is it? It's got to be...
It was early 2000s. Yeah.
I think it's the first like really well-known thing Dan Slott did, like outside of Ren and Stimpy comics and stuff. You know, the first big work he had for DC or Marvel, I think.
I thought I always thought he was just one of those Marvel Adventure guys that got to move up
the
ranks.
The art was done by Ryan Sook.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
he did X Factor with Peter David, like the real dark one. He's done a lot of work for DC too. He's really good. He's a very good artist.
Ryan Sook, yeah, X Factor. That makes sense. That's around the Madrox period, I guess.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Okay. That's cool. Well, guys, I guess are we all out? Anybody got a last minute one they want to drop? Should have got up earlier and looked at your comics, dude.
Yeah, I should have.
That's what I did. It was like, cool.
Oh, I guess I'll just bring up Greg Rucka, I think it was. His... brief stint on Detective Comics where Batwoman was the main character and Jock did the art. That was cool stuff.
I thought that was... Wait.
Was that recently in Detective Comics?
I thought that was J.H. Williams.
No, it was J.H. Williams. Yeah, sorry.
Confused
here. Yeah, because the reason they're giving her an ongoing is because that was really popular, isn't it? Oh, they're supposed to be giving her an ongoing if they can actually get it out.
Yeah, God, it's been delayed so many times. I went to the comic shop to pay for number two, like, for the fourth time, and I was like, I'll get you to pay for this. It'll probably just be canceled again, but we'll keep it in the system.
Fuck, really?
Dan Diodato, or however you pronounce his name, said at C2E2 that the first four issues are supposed to be done. They're just waiting for a good time to publish it, so I'm guessing they might be waiting till Flashpoint is done before they put it out there or something. I don't know, but he said the first four issues are done, but he could have just been talking out of his ass.
Canceled it the next week.
Well, I don't think it's in the June solicit, so it's not out anytime soon, as far as I know. Because I'm quite curious to read it myself as well.
See, I picked up like number zero. It was cool. I liked the original run with her, but you know, it's being played so many goddamn times.
We've talked about that guy's art before on here, and it's such a unique style. I think I don't know if I was into the book strictly for that, I would just say it'd be worth the wait. Mm. No.
Well, yeah, I agree with you because you want the creator's best work, don't you? Even if you have to wait a bit longer, but it's just DC solicited it in, was it January or December? Because it was supposed to start when the rest of the Batman Inc. titles start, and now it's March, and it's still now, and it's still not going to be out in June. Yeah, it was solicited in beginning of the year.
They had November with issue zero. They said it'd be out in January, got pushed back to February, got pushed back again to April, and now we don't know when the hell it's coming out.
That's going to be a graphic novel by the time it's done. They'll just release it all.
Probably.
All right. Well, I guess that's it from us here this week, kids. No whirl. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it was kind of nice. I don't know. I can't tell. It made it through a whole episode without slamming Canada.
Did you, Eric, did you record it? Yeah.
I'm recording, brother. Yeah, don't worry.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, fuck that. Oh, that'd
be horrible. This is all for us, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I did this for fun.
Yeah.
Fucking Batman. All right, guys. We're out.
Bye.
Hey, peace out.
Why so serious? Why so serious?